Parshas Beshalach. In Parshas Beshalach, after the splitting of the sea, so you'll see in the sheet in front of you, the Torah says, Ki asheri isem es Mitzrayim hayom lo sosifu lerosem od hayom ad olam. You will not see the Mitzrayim, you will not see Mitzrayim and the Egyptians forever. That's the promise from Hashem. So the Yerushalmi in Sukkah and Parakei and the Mechilta in our Pasuk, Sait Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who says that this is not a promise necessarily, and the Mefarshim on the Chumash look in the Ibn Ezra, and the other Mefarshim here discuss whether this is a statement of promise or whether this is a commandment, that we will not return to Mitzrayim, that it's prohibited for a Jew to go back to Egypt. It appears in this week's Parsha, Parshas Beshalach. It appears again as direct command in Parshas Mishpatim, and again as a direct command in Parshas Kisavo. We have three times the Torah tells us not to go back to Mitzrayim. You know, with the Abraham Accords, and we already, obviously, Egypt is our first, Israel's first partner in peace in 1979, but with the Abraham Accords and things like that, you know, perhaps there's more opportunities to go back to these countries, specifically Egypt, a country that's not always so hospitable to the Jewish people. And what does the Torah say about living in Egypt, visiting Egypt, working in Egypt? What about the history of Jewish communities in Egypt? We'll talk about this topic for the rest of the evening. The Gemara in Sukkah, Daf and Aleph, notes that there was a prominent Jewish community in Alexandria. And the reason this community was destroyed, says the Gemara, is because they lived in Egypt. So let's learn about these halachos. The parameters and the reason for the Isser. It is counted by the Rambam in his Sefer HaMitzos, in the negative commands of the Mitzvah Mem Vav, as you see in front of you, Shehizharnu Mishkon Be'eretz Mitzrayim, that we should not live in the land of Egypt, La'olam forever, Kadesh Shalom Nilmad, Mikfirasam, we should not learn from their heresy, V'shalom Nelech B'darcheham HaMugunim, we should not walk in their terrible paths, Eitzel HaTorah, which is against the Torah, V'omru Yisalel Lo Sosivim L'shuv B'darach Hazeh, and the Torah says, you shall not return in this path to the land of Egypt. It seems from the Rambam that the issue of going to Mitzrayim is to one to learn from their corrupt ways. That's the problem, according to the Rambam, that if you go to Egypt, you're going to end up acting like the Mitzrayim. It's not about the very act of being a Mitzrayim. It's more about receiving the culture of Mitzrayim. It also seems from the use of the word la'olam, forever, that has nothing to do with the particular inhabitants of who's living there. The Isser applies at all times, no matter what's going on. In every generation of Mitzrayim, there's an Isser to live there. He writes the same thing in Hilchos Melachim. If you look in the Rambam in his Mishnah Torah in the third source, Umutar Lishkon b'chol ha'olam chus me'aretz Mitzrayim. You can live anywhere in the world. There's no problem for a Jew living in any country except for Egypt. Min hayama gadol hamaravi arba meos parsa arba meos parsa keneged eretz kush, and he describes the borders of what Mitzrayim is, and he says Alexandria b'chal Isser, Alexandria is in part of the Isser. Mutzer lachzor la'eretz Mitzrayim l'schora u'l'prakmatia, you're allowed to go to Egypt for business, v'lichbush arzo sacheros, or if you need to for war to conquer the land. Vein Isser el l'hishtakeshem, the prohibition is to dwell there. Vein lokin alav zeh, however, if you do live in Egypt, you wouldn't get lashes and basten. Why? Shebeis haknisa mutzerhi. When you went in, perhaps you went in for a permissible reason. But having the mental thought, I'm going to stay here, is a lav shein bo maisa. It's a prohibition that has no direct action. There's no action of living in Mitzrayim. It's simply being present. And the Rambam says you would not get lashes if you did live in Egypt. Now, it is the location of the Mitzrayim that has this Isser forever. The source for allowing travel to Mitzrayim for business is based on Yerushalmi and Sanhedrin, where the Yerushalmi says that it's the Rambam lifts the words exactly, for Schor and Prakmatia, Ulchabesh Haaretz, for business and to conquer the land, one can go to Egypt. This is the meaning of Klal Yisrael, to visit Mitzrayim. In fact, Rav Avad Yosef has a shuv in the Echav Adas in Chelek Gimel Siman Pei Aleph, where he says the Isser is reserved for somebody who is returning to reside in Egypt permanently, and not for somebody just passing through. Therefore, he says that journalists are allowed to visit Egypt for their work. To report from Egypt, he sees no problem. In fact, Rav Avad Yosef lived there. We'll talk about that in a moment. In addition, Rav Vosner in the Sheva Levi in Chelek Hei feels that one who's living in Eretz Yisrael should not plan a vacation trip to Mitzrayim unless there is some reason to go specifically there versus Eretz Yisrael, such as sightseeing or a cheaper bargain, something like that. But generally, Jews should stay away from spending too much time in Egypt. However, the Torah does say that a king can't have too many horses. Why? So that they won't lead the people go back to Mitzrayim, where the horses are sold. Egypt was the center of the horse trade in that time, and therefore the Hashem did not want the king having too many horses, so the Jewish people will not end up back in Egypt. Rashi in Sanhedrin and Daf Chaf Aleph says that the Isser for the messengers of the king is to go and to buy the horses in Mitzrayim. Now, this indicates that Rashi understands that even going to Mitzrayim for business is usur. Correct, right? Or why else would he say that's the problem, right? The king cannot send businessmen there to buy horses for him. So Rav Asher Weiss in the Minchas Asher and Parshas Shoftim, where he discusses this prohibition, suggests that the Rambam would agree to this because the king's messengers will have to stay in Mitzrayim for a long time to always be available to get the horses. The messengers are not going to go back and forth. They're going to be stationed there working for the king as diplomats in Egypt for the king. Therefore, the type of business which requires their living there would be a problem. It could be, therefore, says he doesn't say this, but it would be against Rav Avad Yosef. If you're a journalist who now is stationed in Mitzrayim, then maybe that would be a problem, according to the Minchas Asher. But to travel and to leave for business is allowed. It seems that the Rambam understands that the traveling to Mitzrayim is not the Isser, but rather it is the living there that is the Isser. Therefore, the Rambam says there are no lashes for living in Mitzrayim because it is a lav, she'en bo maisa, prohibition without any action. There is no concrete maisa where one can say that now they're living in Mitzrayim. Now, the Aderes, Rav David Tumim, Rav Cook's father-in-law, has a kuntras called the Geffen Aderes, where he says that if you go to Mitzrayim with a heter for business, then you can stay after you arrive. He says, since you arrived with a heter, there's no longer an Isser to live there, meaning once you get in with permission, you can stay in Egypt as long as you want. The Tzitz Eliezer rejects this because the Rambam is only saying that there are no malchus for living in Mitzrayim because there's no action, but it's still usher to live there. So the Tzitz Eliezer doesn't agree. There's no heter to stay, even if you go in with the permission to stay there forever. So that's approach number one within the thought of the Rambam, that the issue here is to reside there, to learn from the people there, the culture, and that's the issue. Let's go to approach number two. Approach number two is that the Torah says you're not allowed to marry a Mitzri until the third generation. If a Mitzri converts, he has to wait three generations until he's allowed to be Yuvo'u L'Kal Hashem, to marry into the Jewish people. So the Gemara in Yevam Asaf Ayin Vav says that there was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva who was a Mitzri, who was an Egyptian. And he married a Mitzri woman who also converts to Judaism. So Tosos asks why they practiced these halachos in the days of the Tanaim, right? The ancient Egyptians were long gone and everyone was mixed up by Sancheirav and the time of exiles and diasporas and things like that. In fact, the Gemara in Brachos Daf Chav Ches says that clearly someone who came from Ammon was allowed to marry into the Jewish people in the days of the Tanaim because those nations don't exist anymore from the days of Tanakh. So Tosus answers that this Mitzri who converted made a mistake, and really, there was no reason for him to be machmer. He could have married a regular old Jew, but he was machmer for himself. Then Tosus quotes the Bahag, and the Bahag says that the Mitzrim are still considered part of ancient Mitzrayim, and we cannot marry them until the third generation nowadays. So we have a machlokas here whether the Egyptians were mixed up or the Egyptians weren't mixed up. Why? Because the Navi Yecheskel says that Egypt will return from their gullus. Egypt will return from their exile. Now, both of these opinions are brought in the Shulchan Aruch. When it comes to marrying a Mitzri, if everybody wanted to, anybody was interested with a shidduch with an Egyptian, so both opinions are brought. So, and it brings to both opinions there. Now, based on this Tosos, we can discuss whether the Isser is a din in the borders of Mitzrayim. This is the law in the geographical location of Egypt, or is it people who live in Mitzrayim? If it's based on the people, then perhaps we can begin to be lenient regarding this prohibition. This connection between the two sugyas is discussed in the Chavtzelis HaShalom by Rav Mordechai Karlbach on this week's Parsha. So Rabbeinu Bachya, in Parsha Shoftim, later on in the Torah, says that the mitzvah was only for a certain amount of time, and that since Mitzrayim is not as disgusting as it once was, there's no Isser anymore to go back to Egypt. The Chazon Ish and everybody else disagrees. They understand, and the Gurus Ari writes in Yoma as well, that the Gemara in Sukkah says that the people of Alexandria were punished for living in Mitzrayim. And that happened after the days of Sancheiriv. So what's Rabbeinu Bachya talking about? And the Hagos Maimoni Hilchos Malachim Perachei says clearly that the Gemara in Sukkah shows that the Isser applied in Alexandria and should apply even to this day. The Sefer Achinuch writes in Mitzvah Tav Kuf, Mitzvah 500, that the Mitzvah applies at all times as well. So that's approach number two. Maybe this is about being, maybe it's about the people of Mitzrayim and not the borders, and therefore there's perhaps room to be lenient, and we reject that as well. There is a fascinating explanation from Rav Hirsch. Rav Hirsch in his parish on the Torah says that the reason why we shouldn't go to Egypt is because it is embarrassing to go to Mitzrayim when the Jewish state exists, if there is a Jewish state. We shouldn't have to go there to get things we need or depend on them. There's a country of Israel. Why should we have to go to Egypt and go and live there? And that's why Avram and Yitzchak did when there was famine. Because they had permission to go, because there was nothing to sustain them. But if there's a Jewish country that can support itself, it's almost like a slap in the face, says Rav Hirsch, to go to Egypt. And therefore, certainly, it would apply nowadays. So let's discuss the Hetera, because we cannot deny the fact that for 3,000 years there has been a Jewish community in Egypt in some form, certainly since the days of Yirmiyahu, and even to this day, and certainly the days of Alexandria and the days of the Rambam. So what are the Heterim? What are the reasons why we are lenient to have Jewish communities living in Egypt? We're going to suggest six reasons this evening. The first is brought by the Ritva. The Ritva in Maseches Yuma Daf Amud Ches brings three reasons. We're going to discuss all three. He wonders why so many Jews continue to live in Mitzrayim when the Torah says it is Aser. So he suggests first that over time Egypt was destroyed and rebuilt. New people, new communities grew there, and therefore it's not the same Egypt from the days of the Torah, which was what we discussed before. Now, what the Ritva probably means is the opinion of the Smag, that the diaspora caused by Sancheiriv, when he mixed up all the nations, mixed up all the people, and therefore when going to Egypt, you're not learning from the actions of the original Egyptians that who enslaved us so many years ago, because the original Mitzrim are not there anymore. Now, this problem doesn't fit with the Rambam, so we're kind of left in a bit of a pickle. Now, the Rambam admits in Hilchos Isurei Bia that Sancheiriv mixed up all the nations, including Mitzrayim, and he still says it's usher to go back to Mitzrayim. So this reason, number one, is hard to be a heter for us to rely on to go live and to go spend time in Egypt. Number two, the Ritva suggests a different approach. He says that the Isser is only when the Jews live in Eretz Yisrael, which is kind of what Rav Hirsch was talking about. However, when we're in Gullus in a different country, then all of Chutz La'aretz is the same. Egypt is no better than New York, which is no better than Antarctica. It's all the same. No problem. Now, the issue is to leave Eretz Yisrael to go to Egypt. This is the sheet of the Maharshal, and his parish of the Smag as well. The Tzitz Eliezer, in the Shuvah we quoted before in Chelek Yudalid, says that the reason why this is not brought anywhere in Shulchan Aruch is because it wasn't applicable in the days of Yosef Karo. Because we were in Gullus, and therefore there was no Isser to go back to Egypt. But nowadays, apparently, the Tzitz Eliezer should admit that it should be a problem based on this reasoning, because we have Eretz Yisrael to go to. Number three, the third reason brought by the Ritva, is citing Rav Eliezer of Mitz in his Yireim in Simen Shin Tes, who says that the Isser is only to take the exact path to Mitzrayim that Bnei Yisrael took through the Midbar to get to Eretz Yisrael. And this is why it says, Lo so sifun lashuv bederech hazeh. You may not go back to Egypt in this path, but to travel a different path to Mitzrayim is mutter. There's a fantastic chiddush from Yosef Shaul Nathanson in the Divrei Shaul and Parshas Maaseh. He says, why does the Torah list the 42 stops along the way from Egypt to Eretz Yisrael? Who cares? Okay, so in Kabbalah and in Drush, there's all types of reasons why. But on a pshat level, why do we need to know the 42 stops? So he says, why? Listen to this. He says, because the Isser to go back to Mitzrayim is only if you reverse the recipe of how we left Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael. And the Divrei Shaul says it's only usur to go back to Mitzrayim if you reverse the exact 42 steps when we left Mitzrayim to get to Israel, and you go from Israel back to Egypt on those 42 steps. It's a wild chiddush. It certainly limits it, and it makes it impossible because we don't know where many of those places are nowadays. The Radvaz rejects this out of hand. He says, if the pasuk says, lo sashuv b'derech hazeh, don't go in this way, it also says, lo sosifu l'rosam od ad olam, that you'll never see the land again. The Hashem knew what he was writing in the Torah. This later part seems to say that it doesn't matter how it happens. You can't go to Egypt ever again. So those are the three reasons from the Ritva. Three more reasons not from the Ritva. In the Tshuva Shaul Umeishiv, Yosef Shaul Nathanson writes in Chelek Bey, in Madura Tanyana Chelek Dalet, that the Isser may only apply if the entire nation goes to Mitzrayim. Because it says, Lo Yashiv Es Ha'am Mitzrayim, that we don't want the king to return the nation to Egypt in regards to buying too many horses. However, there's no Isser for the individual to go back to Mitzrayim. The Maisa Ilfis and Yavamos, which is printed underneath the Mordechai, says the same idea as well. The nation is prohibited to go back en masse. It's kind of like reverse Aliyah. You know, where according to the Satma Rav, we can't be Aluka Choma, right? There can't be like a mass movement to Eretz Yisrael to go and live there. So this is kind of like a reverse. There can't be a mass movement to Mitzrayim. That's what the Torah is prohibiting. So the Minchas Asher writes that this is difficult to understand because other psukim and the Rambam don't seem to qualify this based on how many people are going to Mitzrayim. We find no source of this such an idea in the Rishonim. In fact, Rav Kook has a tshuva about this in the Mishpat Kohen in Siman Kuf Mem Hei. And he understands the exact opposite. Rav Kook says that the tzibor, the group, the klal, is allowed to go to Eretz Yisrael as a community. Why? Because then they won't be influenced by the Egyptian culture. They'll be able to have their own Jewish ghetto, so to speak. They'll insulate themselves, they'll keep to their Jewish customs, and the concern of the Rambam that we're going to learn from their ways will be less applicable because there'll be other Jews around. But to go as an individual, says Rav Kook, that's a problem because you're going to get swallowed up in the Egyptian culture. That's reason number four. Reason number five, the Radbaz, Rav David ben Zimri, has a perish on the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah. And there in Hilchos Malachim, he notes, as we all know, that the Rambam lived in Mitzrayim, but he was forced to live there as he served as a physician to the Sultan. And therefore, the Radbaz says, you're allowed to stay in Mitzrayim if you have no choice. And the Radbaz actually expands the term ones. What does it mean to be in Egypt against your will or forced? The Radbaz says that I was also forced to be in Egypt in order to teach Torah. They needed someone to teach Torah. They needed a rabbi. And they hired me to teach Torah and to be the rabbi in Egypt. And he says that is also a form of ones, a necessity. There's a need to be there. He then says he returned to Yerushalayim when he was able to. This is the sheet of the Tzitz Eliezer as well. I brought for you the comments of the Aruch HaShulchan Asid. Rabbi Chil Michal Epstein, the author of the Aruch HaShulchan, wrote a book on mitzvos that will apply when Mashiach comes and the land is rebuilt and replanted. So in Hilchos Malachim, in Perak Ayin Dalet, he writes as follows. Listen to his words. Aval kol hadarim b'mitzrayim b'shvil parnasa ein isra klal. He says, to live in Egypt, there's no prohibition. V'chein harambam zal barach l'mitzrayim b'pnei malshinim v'yeshev sham l'parnasaso. The Rambam, apparently, according to his version, had to flee because there were people pursuing him, and he had to live in Egypt for his parnasa. Va'ikar shehirbitz sham Torah v'chizek sham adas kodshenu. And also, he spread Torah and strengthened the Torah and our religion. Shirada fesat sadukim. The tzedukim, the Sadducees, were causing trouble for the Jews there and making Jewish life miserable for the observant traditional Jews. And he spent time there taking care of them. Shispashtu b'chol Eretz Mitzrayim. They were all over Egypt. K'moshe kasa b'igros haramban, as the Ramban writes in his letters. V'chein chol agadol v'chol Yisrael. So therefore, the Aruch HaShulchan also agrees that if there's a reason, you're going to Egypt to do Kiruv, you are, you know, running a Shabbaton, you're getting people from there, and you're protecting and teaching Torah, then you're allowed to go. And that was a major hetzer for Rav Avadya Yosef to go and be the Dayan in Cairo. That's reason number five. Number six is from Rav Chefetz Ben Yatzliach, who's one of the Gaonim. He writes in his Sefer HaMitzvos, the Isser is on the Melech and not on the nation. It's an interesting chiddush. It's only an Isser on the king to return the nation. But you as an individual are certainly allowed to go back. So we have here six heterim, some stronger than others. I'd probably say that the last few are stronger than the first few, especially the one necessary to teach Torah, if there's a necessity to be there from the Radbaz and the Aruch HaShulchan Asid. And therefore we see this may be a number of different defenses for the Jewish communities who lived in Egypt over time. Let's just spend a few short moments discussing this famous idea of the Rambam. I brought for you in the last source from the Sefer Kaftor Beferach, the major and one of the original works on the mitzvos hatulos ba'aretz, the mitzvos that depend on the land of Israel. And the Kaftor Beferach writes as follows. He says, "V'shamati b'mitzrayim, I heard in Egypt, mipi Rav Shmuel Zal, Achav ibnei banu shel haRambam Zal, who was one of the descendants of the Rambam. I heard from one of the Rambam's descendants, Shekeshaharam Zal, when the Rambam, Zechrono Levracha, hayachosem shemo b'igares shelucha hayamisayim, when he would write a letter, the Rambam would sign it, hakosev, the one who writes, haover b'chol yom shlosh alavim ploni. He says, the one who writes, one who violates three Isurim every single day, and he would write his name." Okay? And this is the legend that many of us know. The Rambam would write his name saying that I live in Egypt and I violate three Isurim every single day. Now, this little historical note from the Kaftor Beferach is greatly disputed. Rav Yaakov Emden, in his comments, in his edition of the Kaftor Beferach, says, "I cannot believe that this is true. Because why would the Rambam publicize his Averos without any purpose? What would the Rambam do by benefiting, writing that he's violating Yisurim when he signs his letters? What would that accomplish?" Other Achronim question why it'd be a problem. You know, the Gemara in Yuma talks about such a concept, speaking about one's sins. Nevertheless, Rav David Chazon in his Sefer Yashar Levin Yeredeya says, the Rambam never wrote this. Rav Eliyahu Yisrael in the Avbasin of Mitzrayim says the Rambam never wrote this. And he says also, we have no letters where the Rambam signs his, where anybody would write about the Rambam, Haram Bamzal. And they find, he finds the whole idea that anybody would refer to the Rambam like that questionable without any merit or any basis. Rav Yeruchim Fishel Perlau notes that the Rambam says that there's only one Isser within all three Psukim. And this is probably the greatest proof against this legend. The Rambam himself paskins, there's only one lav. There's only one Isser. Yes, there are three psukim telling us not to live in Mitzrayim, but all three psukim only make one prohibition in the Torah. The Rambam would never sign a letter saying he violates three lav and three Isurim, because that's not what he believes. He would believe he's violating one Isser that has three psukim. The Tzitz Eliezer says that the Rambam held that there's no Isser b'zman hazeh because the Jewish people are in Galus. But when the Galus ends, and the Yisurim would return. In addition, he says, we have no record of this in any of the Igros of the Rambam. We have no record in any of his letters ever doing like this. Rav Yitzhak Shilat says, who's the great expert on the Rambam's letters, says, lo hayv lo nivra, such a thing never occurred. And therefore, it is a Jewish urban legend regarding the Rambam. But regarding Egypt, it is a real prohibition, certainly a shaila if it were to come up to anybody in a particular practical sense. We should avoid going back to Egypt unless necessary, certainly to live there, and again, not to give them, no reason to give them any money or business or things like that. There's plenty of other places to go on vacation. You know, I'm waiting for the time to see the advertisements when the Pesach program is going to be in Cairo, and you're going to have Pesach program in Egypt, and there'll be a time when people will be invited to go back. But for now, there's other things that we can do with our time and money for vacations. Okay, everyone. I think Jeremy's working.